Councilman Gephardt.
I suppose I could have asked this in the last one, but with the relocation of certain facilities within the city, the mayor's talked about increased costs for police and fire. You know, I'm talking about Motel 6. Is any of that factored into the budget? Any of those increased service calls or staffing?
No. I mean, our budget was put in before we were made aware of that. So, no.
Okay. Thank you.
Any questions from members of the council on the organized crime and drug enforcement budget? Any questions from members of the public on the organized crime and drug enforcement budget on page 27? Okay. We'll now move on to alcohol and highway enforcement, also on page 27. Any questions from members of the council on this budget for alcohol and highway enforcement? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public on the alcohol and highway enforcement budget, page 27? Thank you. We will now move to police grants, also on page 27. Are there any questions or comments from members of the council on police grants budget, page 27? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public on the police grants budget on page 27? Okay, thank you very much, Commander.
You're welcome.
Next department we will discuss is the fire department. It starts on page 28. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening.
Chief, same question I start with the police department. How are your ranks? How are we with recruiting? How are we staffing?
So currently the fire department has 14, we're 14 short of our full staffing. We have 30 recruits that are currently undergoing training. Seven of them are due to graduate the second week of June. Another 27 of them are due to graduate the first week of August. That'll put us coming into August about 16 positions over the 204 that were budgeted. But then if you recall, we have the SAFER grant, which just requires us to add an additional 20 firefighters. So going into August, once we put on those extra firefighters onto the lines, we'll be four short. So already even after the 30 recruits come in, we'll still be four below what our new number will be, which is 224.
And Chief, you mentioned that the SAFER grant, can you break that down for us and give an overview on what that entails?
Yeah, so the SAFER grant was a federal grant. It was a three-year period of performance, so starting back in March when they started their training. The federal government has just upward of $6 million over the 3 years to pay the salaries, benefits, and any other contractually obligated costs to keep those firefighters on for the next 3 years. And then the city and the union at that point would, through the collective bargaining process, would decide how to arbitrate those positions in the future. The positions right now are going to, there's going to be a fifth rescue placed on in first week of August. We'll add a fifth rescue. That's where eight of those positions are going. The remainder of the positions are to add additional manpower to our ladder trucks.
How many total would be looking to hire with this grant? Eight for the ambulance and
It's 20 total that the federal government's authorized, eight for the rescue. It's two on the rescue for the four platoons, and then add in three firefighters for each of the four platoons for the ladder companies.
And over the next 3 years, do you anticipate any retirements?
Yeah, absolutely. If we look at our numbers now, as far as potentials go, there's 36 firefighters that are eligible to retire this fiscal year. Realistically, that number is more like 10. We anticipate five of them most likely. We've got pretty good word that somewhere in the fiscal year they will retire. So we're looking to lose four or five through the normal retirement process.
Okay. And then my final question is on the overtime. As you had mentioned, we brought in a couple new classes the last years. Can you speak to about the overtime budget?
Yeah, so the overtime budget is a little bit increased. We are a little more aggressive with the number projections this year. The biggest gap that we saw in the previous years and what happened last fiscal year and unfortunately happened again this current fiscal year is we get a rash of retirements that seem to happen in May and June. So after we've already put our budget forward and we project how many retirements we're going to have, if I say I'm going to have five people retire within the entire fiscal year, but then six of them retire before July 1st, we immediately go into July 1st with a deficit. And, you know, we have minimum manning clauses so that every person that retires costs me, you know, money, almost like $110,000 to $120,000 a year in overtime just to cover for that one position. So it significantly so we were more aggressive on assuming the earlier retirements other than spreading them out through the fiscal year. And we also have three of our members deploying on active duty. They're actually, one of them just deploys tomorrow and two more will deploy within the next couple of weeks. And they will be gone for until at least calendar year 2024, we're looking. So we projected that into the budget is the additional overtime to cover for those military deployed members. So that's why you see the increase.
Thanks. And I think that's important that you mentioned the minimum manning. So it's not like it's an option for the fire department to say, hey, we're one individual down on the truck today. We'll just do it with three. If it's supposed to be four, that is not, that's against state law. You have to fill those positions.
Correct.
At each shift.
The fire department's in a unique position. It's more just state law than it's the collective bargain agreement actually specifies a minimum number of firefighters required to be on duty at all times. So if a firefighter calls out sick or is on vacation or is deployed in the military or any other reason that he can't come to work, we have to hire an overtime position to bring him back.
Thank you. Are there any questions from members of the council for the fire department budget? Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, hi, Chief.
Hi.
On line 35113, holiday reimbursements, can you explain how it went up?
Okay, sure. So, sorry. With holiday reimbursements, just find it in my notes here so I can give you accurate numbers. So overall in all the salary lines, you're automatically going to expect to see a 6.375% increase. You got to remember that through the collective bargaining agreement that was ratified in the end of January, that was a 3.875% increase this coming fiscal year. But the numbers that you're looking at from last year didn't include the 2.5%, which was ratified in January. So when we put our budget forward for fiscal year 23, we included no raises because at that time we didn't know what that was going to be because the contract was still unratified. We still didn't have a contract. So all the numbers that you're seeing now, if you compare them to last year, are going to be 6.375% more just in the contractual raises. Oh, all right. Okay. The additional stuff is that additional 20 safer funded positions that were added in August. And of the $103,000 increase we're looking for in that line, $73,213 will be reimbursed by the federal government. So that's kind of rolled into that number too.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
35236, marine rescue operations. That went up like 20,000.
Yep. So we're continuing to actively maintain our boats. We haven't had new boats in quite some time, but we're doing a good job at trying to maintain the ones we have. We think structurally the equipment that we have is adequate for our uses, but the electronics are starting to get outdated. So we've been on a project to start to upgrade those electronics on those boats. Last fiscal year, you approved a slight increase for one of the units. This year, we would like to finish that project and complete the electronic upgrades on the other two, and that's why we're asking for that increase. Other than the normal cost of commodities and services is much more expensive than it was a year ago.
Okay, the last one I have is special operations. What's that?
Which line are we looking at? I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
283?
Yeah, 283.
So special operations is the money that we use to supplement the specialty teams in the city, specifically the hazardous materials team, the technical rescue team, and the foam task force. So they are statewide teams that are required to respond statewide. The state does give us a significant amount of money to support those teams because they are statewide teams, but the city still has to fund the local component of that. So we still need hazard materials, technical rescue, and foam task force, and that stuff here locally in the city. So we need to support it. They won't fund. They'll fund the statewide portion, but they're not going to fund the local portion. You're welcome.
Hi. Where does the SAFER grant actually roll in?
So it's rolled into the line item specifically, because that's how the federal government likes to see that accounting, is that it's rolled into the salary items. It's rolled into the holiday reimbursement, any of the contractually obligated lines that are in that budget. And then I believe somewhere in the revenue, you should see a federal reimbursement line. I think Lynn would probably be able to answer that better than I would.
Yeah, there's... Yep.
There should be a federal reimbursement in there. It should be around 1.8.
1.8.
For us specifically, we're looking at $1.2 million, just over $1.2 million will be reimbursed by the federal government.
All right, so maybe it's rolled up in there.
All right, so basically it's crediting the actual budget account that the increase is hitting. So
correct. So if you look at our overall proposed budget, 1.2 of that requested increase is actually reimbursed by the federal government.
All right. So the difference between the 15,540 projected for salary for 2023 and the 18,581 in 2024 is just the contractual increases. The new hires are essentially netted out of that by the grant.
Correct. So if you look at the numbers, we're looking for just shy of $2 million increase in that line item. The SAFER reimbursement's 1.1. So you're really looking at about $800,000-ish dollars, and that's the contractual increases.
Okay, got it.
And in addition to the step increases and the longevity increases that are due.
All right, great. And then I was asking questions earlier about the reimbursement, and you and I had chatted about it not long ago on the ambulance fees. Can you clear that up? Do we have a fixed table of fees now, or are we anchored to some other rate?
So I'm going to answer the best of my knowledge. The finance department actually handles the billing of those runs. We just handle the operational portion of it.
Yeah.
But the ordinance the change to the ordinance that happened several years ago moved it from a 125% of Medicare rates to a fixed number. So a BLS run, an ALS run, and those type of things have a fixed dollar amount to them now. And it's definitely something that probably should be reviewed on an annual or biannual basis.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, they went to the billing company and they asked for the top five reimbursement amounts from the top five ambulance services that use their billing.
Okay.
And we kind of averaged off that number.
Yeah, I got to imagine 3 years ago, that's before significant inflation, gas prices, all that. So probably would be prudent to start pulling that together.
Toot sweet. I agree.
All right. Thank you.
Similar to the question that I asked the police department, I want to take a look at the fuel budget. So
sure.
In this case, the great majority of it would be diesel. Line 35221. Let's see. I see that there's a, and I understand that these packets, the information in them had to be prepared quite a while ago. I see that there's a projection for 2023 fiscal year of $200,000. How's the diesel budget looking for this year?
I'm going to guess that 200,000 number is an error. That wasn't the projection that we had given the finance department, but they had altered our budgeted amount for diesel fuel. And it looks like when they changed that, they changed both of those numbers by accident. So realistically, our projection was about $312,000, I believe was the projection we gave them. We're at $286,000 as of last week. So I don't have no, at the price of fuel right now, which we're paying about $3 a gallon after after all the fees, I have no doubt that as long as the fuel prices stay stabilized, that we'll be under that projection.
And so for the 2024 proposed budget, that amount would not be 200,000, or would it be the 200,000 that's listed?
We gave an aggressive number to the administration, assuming that the fluctuations would continue. The administration made a more conservative estimate that the numbers will stabilize at or around where they are now. And if that is the case, then the 200,000 would be enough to get us through the fiscal year 24, as long as those diesel price fuels prices stabilize where they are, which they seem to have done over the last couple of months. So we're hopeful.
I would hope so, but regardless, obviously we're not going to allow the fire department to run out of gas or diesel. Thank you. I just like to ask these questions to get a better sense of these numbers, as well as in the context of overtime, salary, all of these questions that my colleagues have already asked. Thank you.
Sure.
Good evening, Chief.
Good evening.
Chief, if you could indulge me and just back up to new hires. You said in June, was there seven?
Seven will be coming on and filling minimum man in positions in the second Sunday in June, June 11th, I believe.
Okay. And then you said in August, I think you said there was 27.
First Sunday of August, another 27. That's 20 of our safer, 23, I'm sorry, 23. 30 23. Total. 23. 20 of them are the safer funded positions, and we tacked another three on to try to get our levels back up to the budgeted level. That's as many as we could put into the academy.
So you currently, I'm assuming, you currently have the seven that are coming on in June. They're already, at least for the month of June, factored into the current budget?
They are factored into the current budget because of vacancies that they're filling, correct?
So between July and August, there'll be a total of about 30 new firefighters.
Correct.
Okay.
With an addition of 20 additional minimum man in positions.
Well, I'm sorry, with what?
But the minimum man in is going to go up by 20 because of the safer grant. So ultimately, we're just getting 10 more positions, but we're 14 short.
And the safer grant is picking up the tab for the 23 new hires?
Just the 20. The other 20. Three we added on just to increase the vacancies, or to decrease the vacancies.
Okay, so the SAFER grant, which you had indicated, picks up the cost of the salaries and all the benefits.
Correct.
And that is for 3 years.
Correct.
So you have approximately or exactly 10 new firefighters above and beyond the SAFER grant.
We have 10 new recruits that will be joining the ranks that are not included in the SAFER grant, but they're filling the 14 vacancies. Yes.
Right. So those are 10 that the city does have to pay for.
Correct. They're budgeted.
In the budget, you've increased your salary item for Fire 2 by $3 million. Could you explain that?
I have it as $2 million.
I'm sorry, you're right. I'm talking about your fiscal year and projection of $15 million in your proposed budget of $18.5 million. That's where I'm coming up with the... with the 3 million.
Yeah, so it was 16.5 budgeted last year. This year we're looking for 15.5. I'm sorry, 18.581, almost $2 million. So almost 1.2 million of that is going to be SAFER reimbursed. That's the 20 positions. So the SAFER grant reimbursement is going to pay for those 20 firefighters for the year, which comes out to about 1.2 million in salaries alone. So that leaves roughly $800,000, which is the contractual 6.375% increase over last fiscal year's budget numbers. And then any other longevity step increase raises that have happened in the higher rank on the more senior firefighters.
So with respect to the taxpayers, they would actually be paying $1.2 million less than what this budget is showing now because of the SAFER grant, right?
Correct. But that's reflected on the revenue side. So the bottom line is the same.
Now, given the fact that you are going to have 30 additional members of the fire department, why do you need to plug in $4.4 million for overtime? The complement that you have now is the highest, I'm sorry, that you will have is the highest that I've ever seen. And short of 1 year, maybe, I've not seen your overtime coming in on budget. So why do you need, with an additional 16 firefighters, more than you've ever had, I think, you have the salaries paid in for 20 of them and full benefits. Why are you still requesting $4.4 million in overtime?
Because those 20 positions that we're adding are not going to fill vacations. Those 20 positions add to the minimum man-in.
They're what, please?
They add to our minimum man-in. So right now, our minimum man-in is 196. So I'm required to have 196 firefighters at all times. That's our minimum man-in. The SAFER grant that we're receiving for the additional 20 firefighters, those 20 firefighters are going to add to the minimum man-in. They're not, the federal government isn't paying for firefighters to reduce overtime. They're paying for additional manpower on the vehicles. So they're actually going to be added to the thing. The federal government doesn't fund that to reduce your overtime. They fund it to increase your manpower. So we're still going to have the same amount of, so what we do is we have 196 firefighters in the minimum manning positions. We maintain two firefighters per platoon for the four platoons to fill in for vacations, sickness, other time off that we get during the year. So those are the only positions that will help reduce the overtime. That number's not changing. So we're going from 204, which 8 of them are floaters, to 224. Only 8 of them are still floaters because those extra 20 positions are all positions that are minimum man and not additional personnel to fill vacancies, if you know what I mean, if you understand. So what we did this year is the administration asked us for to do a more aggressive calculation of how we would do the overtime. And we're actually going into the new fiscal year in worse shape than we did last fiscal year. Last fiscal year at this time, we were fully staffed with 204. Right now we're at 190. And in August, we'll be 4 short already to start the fiscal year. So we'll actually start the fiscal year a significant amount short, actually 7 short. But once those 23 come on, I'll go down to 4 short. And really, the numbers is how those calculations are. It's the department's best guess at when those retirements and vacancies are going to occur. We don't know when people retire. We can't project that. And we can't surely can't budget for it.
So what I'm hearing, and based upon previous budgets, what you're telling us is no matter how many firefighters you have in the fire department, we shouldn't really be looking for any reduction in overtime, because it's year after year after year where we are increasing the complement of firefighters and we have not seen a reduction in overtime, no matter how many firefighters you have.
Correct. And that's a fiscally responsible thing. Because believe it or not, if you really look at the numbers, paying overtime is probably more fiscally responsible than hiring new hires. To a point.
We're doing both. We're bringing on new firefighters to the highest complement that I think anyone recalls, and we're still putting in the same amount of overtime. So I understand the difference.
You have 1 minute, Councilman.
I understand the differences between new hires and overtime and how it correlates to each other. I'm fully aware of it. But that's not what I'm seeing happening here. The other question that I have is, I go through this budget and I see department after department after department with a reduction in sick time. Pretty much the majority of them. But with the fire department, what I'm seeing is in the last couple of years, actually since 2021, somewhere is in the vicinity of about a 59% increase in sick time. And since about 2018, over a 250% increase in sick time. Can you explain to us why the trend with the fire department is so different with regard to sick time as compared to the majority of the other departments? Why is the sick time increased so much?
Sick time is a number that is very difficult to project. I don't know that sick time use could be for somebody calling out sick for the day. It could be for somebody who's having rotator cuff surgery and needs to be out for the next 7 months.
It could be what? I didn't hear what
it could be somebody having surgery who needs to be out for the next 6 or 7 months to recover from their surgery. So that number really is dependent. It's not more on the short-term sickness, like what you would expect, like somebody calling in sick for the day. That number is more reflective of how many long-term sicknesses we have in the department at the time. So last year we had right in the beginning of January, and into most of the year, we had a number of off-duty injury-related sick usage, where people injured themselves, had to have surgery done, and were unable to work for 3, 4, 5, or 6 months. And that number, once they're out of work due to that type of a not job-related injury, that uses their sick time, and that's reflected in our sick time use. That sick time use is not just the day-to-day calling in sick for the night or the day. So it's really the long-term ones that really reflect that number.
And I would assume that you have the stats on those type of things?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you. Any additional questions from members of the council? Any additional questions from members of the public? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to EMA budget, and that is found on page 30. Any questions on the EMA budget for members of the council? Any questions from members of the council on the EMA budget? Any questions from members of the public on the EMA budget? Hearing none, we'll move to fire grants. Fire grants is also on page 30. Any questions from members of the council on the fire grants budget? Any questions from members of the council on fire grants? Any questions from members of the public on the fire grants budget? Thank you. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
We'll now move to the building inspector budget, and that can be found on page 31.
Mr. President, we don't have anyone here for the building department. We didn't anticipate getting this far into it. and Alder Court had a procedure today. So,
yeah, he did reach out and say he was unavailable today. But we have it before us. We have the administration here. Are there any questions on the building inspector's budget? Any questions from members of the council on the building inspector's budget?
If nobody's here to answer, what are we going to ask?
Well, we have the administration here.
No, if you have a lot of questions, I can't answer them. So he would come back tomorrow.
We're going to, if there's any questions from members of the council or members of the public, they can ask them now. And then if we need to get additional information, we can find out. So sure. Any questions? Okay. We will move on to Parks and Rec. Is there members of the public that would like to have any questions on the building inspector's budget? No. Okay. Thank you. Now we're moving to Parks and Rec. That budget can be found on page 33. I believe we're in the same situation, Mayor, correct?
Yeah, I assured Director Wiley she wouldn't have to be here tonight, but it's a very simple budget. I can probably answer all the questions there.
Okay. Are there any questions from members of the council? Go ahead, Councilman Lattiser.
Mr. President, I just want to go on the record that I object to continuing on with all of these items without department heads here so we can speak to them personally. Thank you.
Okay, and just for the record, this was posted on the agenda, and it is not the council's fault that they're not here. This was posted on the agenda, and we are able to speak at anything that's on the agenda. So, thank you. Any questions on Parks and Rec budget for members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
I'll just chime in by saying that I think that this council has made significant progress, more progress further into the agenda on a budget hearing than in any year I've been on the council to get through. I believe it's about...
Any questions on the Parks and Recreation budget, sir?
Yes. So I would have questions on, let's see, specifically as to the beach fees. I have a question also on the personnel supplement, whether there have been any changes or if the difference between the 2023 and 2024 just reflects a step and contractual increases.
Yes, I believe there's one counter person that got a step increase. Everyone else was at 2.75.
Thank you, Mayor.
Also, you notice there was an increase in harbor management, and that was these people use their own boats and equipment, so Director Wiley wanted to give them some extra money to buy safety equipment, first aid kits, so they don't have to take money out of their pockets.
Thank you. I suppose that's all of the questions I have at this moment.
Library is not here, and I won't even take a stab at that.
Okay. Any questions on Parks and Rec? Councilman Lattiser.
Mr. President, I just want to reiterate once again.
Councilman, we've been heard on this. Do you have any questions on the Parks and Recreation?
I think it is wrong to be rushing through the rest of this
Councilman,
budget.
Do you have any questions on Parks and Rec?
Here. It's
if
unfair
not,
to
thank
us,
you.
And it's unfair to the taxpayers.
Excuse me, Councilman. This was posted. It is their job to be here. We are going through the budget as posted. It is not my fault that they are not here. So you can take it up with those directors for not being here on the day that it was posted. Thank you.
I'm not saying it's your fault, Mr. President. I'm saying that you do have the power and the authority to hold this.
Thank you very much.
Tomorrow.
Just as a point of information, we can't cry foul if we don't have any questions that are unable to be addressed. And frankly, even if we did, the administration already, for when department heads have been here, when the information hasn't been available, they've all more than been happy to agree to provide us the information afterwards. So it's not like this is unprecedented or any, like some monumental cover-up. We haven't even posed questions that the mayor or the administration here can't answer for the purposes of the department heads not here. And even if we did, as just pointed out, we could get the information anyway. So I think we just gotta kind of take a step back and not attack anybody or anything, really. There's no reason to at this time.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any members of the public that would like to be heard on the Parks and Recreation Committee? Parks and Recreation? Thank you. Move on to the library. I believe the director is not here. They have a separate board as well. So we will go to Human Services budget.
Good evening, Meg Underwood, Director of Senior Services.
Thank you, Director. Page 35 is the Human Services budget. Are there any questions on the Human Services budget? Councilman Sinapi.
So my only question is, and I'm not sure it can even be addressed now, is when I previously asked why the senior fees line item was going away. I don't know if you know why that's happening or if it's even part of your budget or if it's just a revenue item solely.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
So in the revenue side of things, it showed the senior center fees line item as going away. I wasn't sure if that's part of your purview and budget or not.
Okay, I thought we were going to start with human services. But senior center fees, no, those won't go away. I don't know why that wouldn't be in there.
And bear in mind, I'm not asking you to guess or anything like that. If it's not in your wheelhouse, don't worry about it.
Councilman, it should be in there. And I don't know why it's not on there. Hang on a second. Senior center fees include the fees for membership as well as the fees we charge for classes, which are very nominal, but it should be in there.
Mr. President, if I may, Councilman, Mr. President, inquiry, if you don't mind. Councilman Sinapi, could you identify the line item that you're discussing? Or is it not there? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's in the revenue side. I wasn't sure if it's also reflected somewhere in the budget.
Yeah, so the flip side to the revenue side of that would be instructional services. So that is what we pay our instructors for the classes. And we try to make it even out so that people are paying just for the instructor fees and nothing more. So we break even.
Got it. Thank you.
Sorry about that. I wasn't sure what you were
talking
about.
It was an oddly worded question.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any additional questions on the human services budget, members of the council? Any questions from members of the public on the human services? Okay, hearing none. I apologize, I missed the library. Are there any questions on the library's budget, which is on page 34, from members of the council? Any questions from members of the council on the library's budget? Are there any questions from members of the public on the library's budget? Any questions from members of the public on the library's budget? All right, thank you. We're now on to senior centers. The senior centers budget is on page 37. The director's here. Any questions or comments on the senior centers budget from members of the council? Any questions from members of the council on the senior centers budget? Any questions from members of the public on the senior centers budget? Any questions from members of the public? All right, thank you very much. We'll now move to senior transportation, which is also on page 37. Is there any questions on the senior transportation budget from members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
I'd similarly just have a question as to the budget for diesel fuel. Let's see, the 2022 actual was $14,461. The projection for 2023 is $21,692, but unlike some other departments where we're seeing a proposed budget that's lower for fiscal year 2024 than the projection of 2023. In this case, the proposed budget is a higher amount. I do notice the trend here where in 2021, it was only $4,000. So I'm wondering if this reflects an additional vehicle or if there's a different reason why the numbers are what they are. Although in fact, with 2021, I can imagine that Transwick was not running as it usually would. However, I'm not sure the difference between 2023 and the upcoming fiscal year. So I suppose that, oh, thank you. I didn't realize you were up at the mic.
Councilman, I think that's just a cushion just in case the prices do go up again. This is one of those line items where obviously if we don't need that money, it won't be expended. So I think it's just a cushion. And we are getting an extra, another part-time driver and an additional vehicle, which we do need because our ridership has gone up pretty significantly.
Thank you for the explanation.
Of course.
Any additional questions from members of the council on the senior transportation budget? Any questions from members of the public on the senior transportation budget? Thank you very much, Director.
Thank you very much.
Next up on the agenda is the capital budget. Are there any questions from members of the council on the capital budget? Any questions on the capital budget from members of the council? Councilman Gephardt.
Hi, Director. I had a question about, so I see very exciting the City Hall Plaza and the rink have made their way onto the capital budget. Have you prepared any pro forma supplement on operating the rink?
No.
Would you be able to provide that to the council before we vote on this budget?
Has Tom done anything on that, Mayor? They're asking, has Tom done any work on what the operating costs of the rink would be? Do you know the answer to that?
Oh, no, we've only done comparisons to Providence.
Mayor,
we've only done comparisons to Providence so far.
Are you able to share those?
I could if I'd have known to bring it.
That's okay. Yeah, I don't need it right this second.
It's pretty just... old. I can go over it with you anytime.
Okay.
Like I said, we did Providence. It's hard to project what our cost is going to be because it's still in design.
Yep.
So we're not sure of the infrastructure, the maintenance of that, and how much energy we'll use. It's about 60% design now. It's enough that they've gone up for permits to DEM and all the other agencies.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from members of the council on the capital budget? Questions? Any questions from members of the public on the capital budget? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to ARPA.
The details of the ARPA spending plan, which you will all have an interest in because the Finance Committee will see the, are on page 2 of the capital budget. And they total over $15 million. Some of this we have available because we didn't get to things this year in terms of a lot of different reasons. Prices came in too high, or the department just, we're not going to see the bids till the beginning of next year. So you should review the list on pages 2 and 3 of the capital budget. And one important item is that part of the part of the pledge to the public schools is $1 million from ARPA for capital items. Same, kind of the same kind of thing we did last year, which we didn't have to use it because school aid came in better. I had a question from a councilman on how much is left. And if we were doing this tomorrow, I would have had, I didn't bring the right file with me and I don't have the right person here. I believe it's under $1 million that would be left next year. It's a small number relative to the whole 39.4 million that we received. We have to have all this committed by December 31st, 2024. So there is still an opportunity to appropriate next year. But it is a minimal amount left after all these, and I just don't have the number with me. And I emailed the person who has the number. I can share that with Joanne tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Director. Are there any questions on the ARPA budget from members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
Just to make certain, as to the $200,000 per ward that was discussed and that program began last year, all of the funds that were unallocated from last year are going to continue to be available for that program in the coming fiscal year, correct?
Yes, I've assumed that all of the $1.8 million is used in getting at the, if you go to, for example, page Roman numeral 6 of the mayor's budget message, there's a table of the revised spending for 23 and the council's allocation is included within the public works entry.
Well, very good. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't missing anything there. And I think that that's an excellent program. Really helps to distribute the money across the city, get constituent feedback. Let's see. My other question on ARPA is, I suppose it's more of an observation. I just want to point out that I see a lot of the capital improvement and one-time costs that the money is being used in. I think it's great that the city is able to use these funds to purchase vehicles for additional paving, things of that nature. I just also have an observation that many of these items are things that the city would otherwise have to do sooner or later out of its operating budget. So similar to what I said on some previous items, I am concerned about effectively a structural deficit that's larger than just what we're recognizing as part of the fund balance drawdown. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional questions on ARPA funds? Councilman Gephardt.
Director, I recall from last year's budget, there were ARPA funds were being expended to do loss to offset higher than expected electricity rates, those sorts of things. I don't see anything like that in here, but can you tell me if I'm missing anything of that nature?
There's a little mention of this in the budget message. We haven't pledged any of ARPA to support the operating budget. Now, many of these items did not qualify other than on the revenue loss category. So we're using them for capital acquisitions, but we're not using any ARPA in the 24 budget just to balance the budget. And one of the reasons for that is we had a very good end of the year, 22, better than we thought it was going to be. And one of the limitations is you can't use ARPA to increase your quote rainy day balance. That's what's in the law. And I think we can demonstrate clearly that we didn't use anything to increase the rainy day balance. But I would prefer not to have to meet that test. And if at the end of, by December 31st, or let's talk about first June 30, 24, or midpoint, or even getting to 2 years out when all the money has to be spent, it'll be an easier job for us to make the case if the rainy day balance isn't bigger than it was when we started. So
I'll just finish that and say that, you know, it's often difficult to not have enough money to run a budget, but it can also be difficult to have this big pile of earmarked or heavily regulated money and figure out how to spend it wisely. But I feel like you and the team have done it pragmatically and set us up. We had an example when I think it was the police department was up. We used the ARPA funds to upgrade the telecommunications infrastructure, and we saw an immediate savings this year of $50,000. I'm sure there's little nuggets like that throughout the budget. So that's good. So appreciate it. Thank you.
Any additional questions from members of the council on the ARPA budget?
Mr. President, one thing I'd like to mention to the councilman, as far as the ward projects go, you need to get moving on them. We have to have the money designated by next year, or we risk them clawing it back.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the public on the ARPA budget? Any questions from members of the public? Okay, thank you. We will now move on to the sewer budget.
Good evening, Betty Ann Rogers, Sewer Department.
Good evening, Director. Thank you for being here. On the sewer budget, I have a question on, can you speak to your personnel? Do you have any new hires? Do you have any open positions? Do you have any transfers, positions?
We have currently seven vacancies that have not been filled. So we're striving to get those filled as soon as possible. We have one additional position that we're adding this year. It's a mechanic one position. It's required under a consent agreement with the Rhode Island DEM to increase our staff and our capacity management operations and maintenance program. We also have a position that we're changing from an O&M technician to a mechanic two position. And we did eliminate a GIS position because we feel as though the contract that the city presently has with CAI, they're the GIS vendor, that we can eliminate the position and still have the services through CAI that we need. We would just be paying them out of our budget under professional services.
Okay, and there is a position here, job code 40407 is the job code. That was a looks like a large increase from fiscal year 2023. I believe it was budgeted at 44,000. In 2023, and now we're looking at a total allowance of $60,746. Can you speak to that position?
Yes. That position was for an administrative assistant. It's been changed to an executive administrative assistant, and there are additional job responsibilities associated with that position. Also, the individual who has that position has longevity, so that would factor into the pay increase.
So it wasn't an outside hire, it was...
No, it was someone from within the city that was hired.
Any questions from members of the council on the sewer authority's budget? Councilman Lattiser.
Good evening, Director.
Good evening.
I'm sure you can think about what my question is going to be. And that is... where are we with the budget for the Bayside Sewer Project?
We are, oh, I'm sorry, excuse me.
With With that said, what is the anticipated completion time of the project?
So we are on budget, and we anticipate completing the project. The contractors are still saying that they are on target for 9/30/23, so the end of September. However, my feeling is that it may run a little bit over. We have encountered some obstructions in the project area that we're working through. We're very fortunate. We've had a very, I would say, wonderful collaborative effort with NIFPO and the Archaeology Laboratory in identifying any of these areas that have to, actually providing archaeological services for these areas that now need new pits dug. So that's going along very nicely. But I mean, I'm going to stay cautiously optimistic and say by no later than the end of the year. And that would include the paving. So we're right on target with all of the directional drilling, despite the obstructions that we're finding. However, the settling that we're seeing in some of these areas that we're patching over, we feel that probably letting it, extending the pavement out to paving exercises out to August, around that time frame, September, would be ideal so that we could get optimum settling and nice flat grade pavement for the project.
Thank you. No, I completely understand that. As a matter of fact, that's a message that I continuously convey to my constituents. Now, of course, some questions come up, particularly with the nice weather, people are getting out about the roads and they just need to understand. And they do understand about compaction, et cetera, et cetera. And you are spot on when you speak about the collaborative effort of that project. Mm-hmm. That is right off the top of my head, I can't think of a larger project that has gone on in this city since I've been on this council. And it has just been very, very successful. It's been a very cooperative project from everyone involved. I want to thank you on behalf of myself, as well as all of my constituents. And it's particularly important and I'm very happy to hear that you continue to stay on budget and your completion date is precisely what was projected several years ago.
Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
Any questions from members of the council on the sewer department's budget? Any questions from members of the public on the sewer department's budget? Questions from members of the public? Thank you. Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
We'll now move on to the water department's budget. Good evening, Director.
Good evening. Terry DiPetrillo, Chief of the Water Division.
Thank you. Do we have any questions from members of the council on the water department's budget? Any questions from members of the council on the water department's budget? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. Director, we all know that, you've been dealing with, some serious meltdowns, let's say, of the infrastructure. You and your team have been doing a really good job keeping up with that. Do you have in your budget adequate resources to the best you can anticipate for any of these unanticipated emergency repairs that may come up?
So if you look at 201-84-799, our capital improvement, we increased that budget to, to 2.5 million, just to give us some cushion for what you speak. We can't, we can't project failures in our system, but that's why we increased that line item, 799, and I feel very comfortable with that.
And roughly, how old is the majority of our infrastructure?
So our system's 80 something years old. We got pipes going back to the 40s, the 60s. in the infrastructure itself is solid. It just needs to be maintained. And if you look at our capital 10-year capital improvement plan, what we want to get done and how we're going to fund it, everything's in there. So it's just a matter of maintaining. Rome's not burning, but you know it's time to do maintenance.
So the reason I ask these questions is we all know and we all understand that there's going to be failure with the infrastructure and the water department as well as the sewer department. And these are unanticipated events, pretty much impossible to predict where and when it's going to happen. All we know is it's going to happen.
Right.
And the point being is as we continue spending elsewhere, we need to be prepared for these type of failures in your department, in the sewer department.
Well, that's,
and when those failures occur, the taxpayers have to pay the bill.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is why we hired Beta Engineering Group to do a design for our GIS system to get us up to the 21st century. So that way we can target areas where we know we have, just say, Bayside sewer area. You know, okay, before the sewers come in, okay, let's look at what we've had in the past 10 years, past 20 years. And we go in that area and take care of the problems. So that was our purpose of GIS be able to forecast areas before projects. So laying new gas lines, new sewer lines, and, you know, dirty water calls, you know, everything is going to be on a layer where we can actually tackle those problems.
Thank you.
Any questions from members of the council on the water department's budget? Additional questions from members of the council on the water department's budget? Any questions from members of the public on the water department's budget? Any questions from members of the public? Thank you. Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
We're now moving to transfer supplemental appropriations and emergency appropriations. Are there any questions from members of the council on transfers, supplemental appropriations, and emergency appropriations? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I'm not certain which page that's on.
Page 58, sorry. PCR 58.
Ah, thank you.
Any questions, Councilman? You look deep in thought. I didn't want to.
I didn't know. Pardon me. I didn't know that you were waiting on me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No questions.
Okay. Any questions, Councilman Lattiser?
Yes, thank you. So these transfers. So are these increases or decreases?
Both.
Okay, so could you just explain this?
So in your hand, you...
I'm sorry, Mr. President, if I could ask the speaker to identify in the department, please. Yep. Thank you.
Lynn Proger, City Treasurer.
Thank you.
The transfers are actually for the fiscal year 23 budget. There are two transfers in your hand. One is to move the amount we reserved for the fire contract over to fire salaries. There's that component at the top, so it reduces the contractual obligation, increases the fire salary budget line. The other one is actually a little transfer we do as ceremony to reappropriate the balance for the school department back to the school department, and that is going to increase both sides, actually. So you increase their, it's a small amount for their reserve from 22. So it ties to the audit.
Why were both of those transfers necessary?
The transfer for the school department is just something we've done historically as a means of reappropriating the fund balance back to the school department, because as a department of the city, they do not get to carry their fund balance. So we do this by ceremony. It is up to you whether you vote for or against it. The same is for fire. We reserved some money
over in contractual obligations for the contract. We ended up voting for a fire contract and needed the money for the salaries. So
the contractual obligation actually came in $400,000 less, and you moved the $400,000 into salaries?
Whenever there is a contract that has not yet been enacted, we historically reserve a little bit of money for the cost in contractual obligations.
Right.
And then when we, at this time of year, we move the money from that line over to the department that would need it. In this case, it is fire.
So the fire
department. In previous years, it was police. In other years, it was municipal.
So the fire department needed an additional $400,000 into their salary budget?
Yes. That is where it is ultimately expensed.
Last Mr. Schaefer?
For 23, not 24, 23.
Right, exactly. So in order to cover the salaries, you had to shift $400,000 out of contractual obligations over to the salary line item for the fire department.
We budgeted potential raises in contractual obligations, not their salary line.
Mm-hmm. And that line in the budget for contractual obligations, if I remember correctly, that line is $400,000, isn't it?
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. And we reserved that money for fire last year.
Right.
I mean, the cost, and the cost was greater than $400,000. And I testified to that. I did a fiscal note, but we had $400,000 reserved in a different area. We're just moving it. Otherwise, the deficit in the fire department will be $400,000 greater than it's going to be. So,
thank you.
Additional questions from members of the council on transfers? Any questions from members of the public on transfers, supplemental appropriations, and emergency appropriations? Any questions from members of the public? There being no further items remaining for review on the fiscal year 24 budget, PCR 57-23 and PCR 58-23, I would entertain a motion to close the public hearing. Councilman Foley.
I move closure of the public hearing.
Seconded by Councilman Howe. We'll do a roll call vote on that. Favorable action is to close the public hearing.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa? Ms. Travis? Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
And yes.
Thank you. Having completed the public hearing, I would now like to entertain a motion to continue the budget hearings to Thursday, May 25th at 4 p.m. Councilman Foley.
I move that we continue on Thursday.
May 25th at 4 o'clock.
May 25th at 4 o'clock.
Second by Councilman Howe. The clerk will call the roll for favorable action to continue the budget hearings till Thursday, May 25th at 4 o'clock.
Counselor?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa? Yes. Ms. Travis? Mr. Snappy? Yes. Mr. Gephardt? Yes. Nine yes.
Thank you very much, and we will see everyone Thursday at 4 p.m. Have a good evening.
Thank you.